Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. We've got Genevieve Bell back in the studio with us today. We're excited. Welcome.
Hey, Allison. It's always nice to be back.
You've been a very busy woman since the last time we talked. The last time we talked, you talked to me about being in a bar and joining Intel, which was the first time I've ever got to talk about bars on Chip Chat. But you've really quite made a household name for yourself lately. What have you been up to?
Oh, frightening. I'm not sure what kind of household name it would be, but you know, I think part of what's happened is I have a new job. Intel has decided to really kind of put the focus in our R&D labs on the kind of work we've been doing before in our business group. So really about sort of how do we start to take interactions and experiences much more seriously as a starting point for innovating new technology. And I now have a brief to go reinvent how we're going to experience computing over the next decade. And I get to do something I've always wanted to do, which is build on a kind of 12-year path at Intel where first we had anthropologists and research social scientists, then we worked out to be really successful with that. You needed to add interaction designers and human factors engineers. And now in this new lab, I get to leave it on top of all of that, a whole different range of technologists. So hardware and software guys, computer scientists. So I now have this incredible kind of range of amazingly talented people who are going to help build out this kind of future vision. So it's very exciting.
So what would you say is the mission of your group? I mean, what do you think looks like success?
I think it's a couple of things. I mean, I think partly success is if we can produce a coherent set of stories about what the future of our relationships to computing will look like. Mm-hmm. What are the kind of compelling experiences going to be? I think it could be about a new range of devices. I suspect it's certainly about a new set of mechanisms for how we might interact and engage with those devices. I think it's about identifying a set of compelling experiences, ways that we're going to care about things that will cross all of the devices in our lives. I think if we can identify those things and start to put some stakes in the ground about how we get to a new future, I think I'll take that as success.
And when you think about experiential changes in terms of the way we interact with computers, is this moving from one device to many devices? Is it changing the way we actually physically engage? Or is it deeper than that in terms of the software development and how computing devices track us and respond to us?
Well, because I like to bite off big things, it's all of that and more. So, I mean, there's a couple of pieces that for me are really interesting. I mean, I think it's been very clear over the last, say, at least kind of 2 years that the notion we were only going to have one computational device in our lives seems to be well and truly a now ancient concept. Mm-hmm. Computing power is turning up in other places too, in our cars, our gaming consoles, smart two-way electrical meters, our televisions. And you know, when I start to think about what the future looks like, it's about a couple of things, right? One, it is about what are the ways in which we'll experience our relationships with and through those devices. Mm-hmm. I think it's also about how things will move between those devices. Mm-hmm. I think it's about how we'll consume things from those devices, but also how we'll create and share things. So once we have all those things, what's it going to look like to kind of try and put them together and to sort of think about a world where they might work a little bit better? But better doesn't always mean an engineering better. It may mean a human better. So, you know, for us, when we were thinking about what it meant to really reimagine television as something that would have kind of additional smartness in the form of the internet, but I was really concerned to make sure that in doing that we didn't destroy the quintessential essence of why people love television, which is that it's really simple. Mm-hmm. It's one button to a story that kind of moves you. It has a kind of robustness to it. So making sure as these devices all get smarter, as the internet turns up in new ways, making sure that we understand the essence of those things already is really right. Important to me. So one of the questions we found that was most provocative and fertile when we were working in the digital home sort of space, the TV space, was to ask people why they loved their televisions. Mm-hmm. Not what they did with them, but why they loved them. Mm-hmm. And that kind of question opened up a whole set of really interesting things about what people cared about, what motivated them, what their kind of emotional reaction was. And so I thought it would be good if we went and understood why people loved a whole bunch of other things that computing is coming to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why do people love their smartphones? Arguably, why do they love their tablets? Why do they love their cars? And so my researchers are at the moment actually off pursuing those questions of actually asking consumers all over the globe, because we continue to have a nicely global focus about why they love the devices, platforms, and services that are already in their lives.
Sounds like you're also making us propeller heads at Intel adopt to the concept of emotion being part of our process.
I think we're just increasingly getting to a point of realizing that the devices our silicon moves into are ones that are really part not just of our work lives, but our personal lives. Mm-hmm. And there is a sense that they are part of our relationship horizons and how we think about what we do with our leisure time and our pleasure time. And I think, you know, as that increasingly becomes the way in which many of the devices in our lives are configured, I think it's hard not to think about emotions and emotionality. I had someone say to me the other day, it was a great line, that, you know, Intel had this TikTok model and now they needed to have a heartbeat too.
That's good. So I'm going to go back to television for a second, because I know that you've been instrumental in some of the work that we've been doing in that space with a lot of research for many years, but delivery and some key products this year. Smart television. You know, Intel's gone down the TV path before and been somewhat unsuccessful. What's different this time?
Well, you know, when I joined our digital home business, we were just on the tail end of having launched the Vive product, which I'm sure many of us remember. And I think, you know, one of the things we learned when we did that was that to be successful in the consumer electronics space, we actually had to stop thinking that the solution to every kind of experience people had in their lives was a PC.
Right.
And I think in those days, we thought people should have a PC in their living room. And so for us, as we started to think through that space, it was really about a couple of things. I mean, I think it was about distilling the basic kind of underlying essence of why people loved television. So we know that there are a couple of ways that television has always kind of evolved. Visual quality gets better, screen size gets bigger, more and more content arrives. So it's not like television has been static. So it really became about, okay, what do we know could shift the storytelling potential of television? Well, clearly it's the internet. And the internet is all about, in the web form of the internet, is all about just an amazing proliferation of stories. So for me, one of the really kind of important design briefs at some level was to think about, if you were going to bring the internet, how could you engineer it in such a way that it didn't bring all that complexity with it too?
Right.
And you really had to kind of respect TV as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, where we've been going in the smart TV space is really an acknowledgement that this isn't about turning a PC into a television. This is an acknowledgement that content matters. And I think it's an acknowledgement that we know there's more content coming, but we have to find ways of managing that complexity that doesn't put all the work on us as the consumers, doesn't make us do technical work, because people don't want to do technical work with their televisions. And I think in some ways, most importantly, maintains one of the things that I think is a kind of a significant part of what television is, which is a little bit of sort of fun.
Well, fantastic. Well, Genevieve, I'm very excited about the new developments in your org and in your life. And thank you very much for being on the program again. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely my pleasure, Allison.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.